Charlotte the Spider and Wilbur the Pig are characters in a classic story of friendship. E.B. White's children's novel, Charlotte's Web, came out in 1952. And since that time, it's been adapted to films, a musical, a video game, and also a puppet show. The Center for Puppetry Arts opens Charlotte's Web next week, and we have puppeteers Amy Sweeney and Nicholas Carleo here in studio, along with some esteemed puppets themselves. Welcome to all of you.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you so much.
It's really a pleasure. Now, Amy, we've had you on before.
Yes.
But would you remind us?
It was actually for a show called Mighty Bug, where I played Scorpiana.
Scorpiana, the beautiful scorpion. Well, I guess she was a little bit evil, wasn't she?
Yeah, just a little bit.
As scorpions would be. But I was hoping you'd remind us about how you became a puppeteer.
Oh, well, actually, I became a puppeteer when I was in Orlando, Florida. I was living down there, and I worked for a wonderful company called the City of Orlando Puppet Troupe. It was a government-run puppet troupe.
Really?
Yeah, and we actually did shows for underprivileged children in different centers, and I got the bug there. I actually am.
So to speak.
Yeah. I actually am from Gainesville, Georgia. So there was an opportunity to come up here and audition for the Center for Puppetry Arts about 11 years ago. And I came up and got the job, and I have not left since.
Of course, the Center for Puppetry Arts, an international destination for all things puppetry. Nick, how are you introduced to puppetry?
Well, I was always interested when I was a kid in puppetry, naturally watching The Muppets and Sesame Street. I took one puppetry class in my undergrad, and in my first professional auditions in the Atlanta area, the Center for Puppetry Arts was so kind to ask me to audition for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and I actually got to play Santa, and I've been doing that the past 2 years. And this is my first show that's not Christmas-themed.
Now, when you say you played Santa, you are meaning your puppet, correct?
Yes.
I love the identification. You know, this is method acting via puppets.
Oh, absolutely. I think with any sort of performance, to really kind of establish a character first and then let everything else kind of follow behind it, it really helps kind of lead everything. And it even transferred over to puppetry, which was very exciting.
Mm-hmm. So Charlotte's Web, how was this adapted for the puppet stage?
Well, this was many, many years ago. We actually did the first version. It was actually before my time there. And they adapted it in a style called Check Black, where we use a curtain of light out front and we use shadow behind it, and puppeteers dress in blacks from head to toe. So we disappear virtually behind the puppets. And I think it's just such a classic story and it's full of animals and a beautiful message that it just needed to be made into a puppet show for our center.
And this time around, is it also shadow?
It's still Check Black. Yeah, Check Black. And we do use different varieties of puppets. We have rod puppets. We have something we call, sometimes it's called Bunraku, but we kind of call it teamwork puppetry, where you'll have three puppeteers on one puppet. And those are for a lot of the human characters and also for Templeton the Rat. We use three puppeteers.
Why are three required?
You usually have one that is the main character. They do the head, and then you have one on the arms and one on the feet, so all the limbs move. They become more, it becomes more real. You know, they look like they're actually there and they're actually alive.
Okay, I'm not sure I really want to know the answer, because I believe they are real. But say in Muppets Take Manhattan, were there three people in Miss Piggy?
No. Usually there's one or two. You know, they'll have somebody in the head, and sometimes they'll have somebody on the arms. But because you can actually see the feet of our puppet, we have someone on the feet as well.
So much detail. You have two of the puppets here in studio. Would you tell us, well, first, would you introduce your puppet alter egos and then tell us something about the mechanics of them?
Oh, of course. Well, we have Wilbur here.
Hello, Wilbur.
Yes, hi there. We actually have three different Wilburs for the show, one when he's an infant. The one I brought here today is an adolescent, sort of a teenager. Then we have a very large, like, actually pig-sized puppet. And he's actually a hand and mouth puppet. So I'll put my hand inside where his little mouth is, and I can flap him around and lip sync with the dialogue. And he has two rods connecting his front legs and his back legs, so I can move them and make it really look like he's actually running around or sitting down or leaping.
And he has some leaping to do.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Because it gets a little scary there. He's adorable.
Is
now,
he?
Hey, tell us some more. Who are some more hand-in-mouth puppets? Famous ones.
Well, naturally, we have Kermit the Frog. And most of your Muppets are varying on hand-in-mouth and rods for the arms.
And a lot of Jim Henson puppets are the hand-in-mouth puppets. And ours, actually, you have, like Nick says, we have the hand and the mouth, but you also are able to move the legs as well. And Wilbur always, well, usually, sometimes you have a helper, but usually it's just Nick behind this gigantic pig for most of the show. And he makes him look so alive and so wonderful.
So long as you don't think about being a butcher.
Right.
This never would enter your mind.
Of course not.
No. Now, could you give us some more behind-the-scenes information? You've told us about some of the mechanics. Mm-hmm. What is the rehearsal process like?
We have about 3 weeks that we do the rehearsal process, and that's when we're learning the scripts. It is kind of like a basic theater show where you learn the scripts, you learn your lines, you learn the blocking, but you add the layer of puppetry and making these creatures alive, which does take quite a bit. And working with a light line, the Czech Black style, is very tricky because you want to stay out of the light as much as you can.
Sure.
So we're always in these interesting positions, you know, like hunched down or even Nick's on a cart, a rolling cart for most of the show. So we're always in these positions to just stay in the shadow so you can really pay attention to the puppets.
Okay, now this sounds similar to singing and dancing while acting.
Yes.
I mean, you have choreography.
Mm-hmm.
And you also must be, you know, using parts of your body that don't necessarily correspond to the action in the way that singing and dancing would.
Right.
Did this part of your craft take a long time to master?
I guess I've been doing Czech Black since I started at the center because it's one of their favorite styles there. It did take a long time to just realize where you needed to put your body mm-hmm. in order to stay out of the light. But the choreography, it's like learning a dance. You know, we get a lot of practice. We do about 8 hours a day for 6 days a week
and
practice.
And you do multiple shows a day?
Yes, yeah.
You must be exhausted.
Yeah, 2 to 3 shows a day, yeah, depending on the day, yeah. It's exhausting, but it's really rewarding.
Oh, well, if you are just joining us, I'm speaking with puppeteers Amy Sweeney and Nicholas Carleo, who appear in the Center for Puppetry Arts upcoming production of Charlotte's Web. We'll be back in just a moment.
Support for WABE comes from California Closets, with designers available for consultations in-home or in the California Closet showrooms in Buckhead, Alpharetta, Lawrenceville, and now open in the East Cobb, offering storage solutions for every decor, californiaclosets.com. And from the Zuckerman Museum of Art, presenting the exhibition Medium, Everyone Has a Ghost Story, What's Yours? Reception September 16th. You can learn more at zuckerman.kennesaw.edu.
We're back with City Lights on WABE, Atlanta's Choice for NPR. I'm Lois Reitzes. Thanks for listening. My guests are puppeteers Amy Sweeney and Nicholas Carleo, talking about the Center for Puppetry Arts production of Charlotte's Web, which opens on Tuesday. Like all of your productions, this will feature some performances specifically for children with autism. Mm-hmm. How are those productions different from the others?
What we do is we actually work with the sound, and we usually take the sound down a couple levels. This show is so sweet and gentle, mm-hmm. that we don't have to do a lot of work on this show. A lot of times we'll have to change the lights a little bit, make things not as startling.
Sure.
But what we really want to do is we make a safe space, a space where you just feel like you can watch the show, you can enjoy it. If you need to leave the theater for any reason, you can come in and out. So that's what we really aim to do. And we also have extra activities during that day as well that people can do.
Have there been any experiences related to some of the autism productions that were particularly moving or remarkable that you've heard about or even experienced yourself?
I've done several of them, and the audiences after are so appreciative. It brings a tear to your eye.
Sure.
Because it's just, you feel the love. And also, there's a lot of dancing. If you have music in the show, there's a lot of getting up and dancing and moving around and just experiencing it on a different level. And it's so lovely to see. Yeah, I mean, I just remember doing, we did Space, and that was a big musical rock show, you know, and just people jumped up out of their seats and started just getting down, and it was so much fun to see that.
I'm thinking it could be educational to take some of the people who attend the regular performance and then bring them in to observe.
Yes.
The autism performance. It could be very instructive for children attending.
Absolutely. I think to kind of destigmatize that whole the whole autism spectrum and heavily ADHD kids is very important, and I love what the center is doing, just making it all inclusive.
Yes, very much so. Well, we were talking about how many examples there are in children's literature of animals dying, and for that matter, in fairy tales, you know, humans dying. Charlotte's Web is in this category. What do you think kids learn from these stories?
I believe they learn about the life cycle of, I mean, especially Charlotte. I mean, a spider does not live very long.
I know.
And E.B. White, actually, he wrote this lovely note to his publishers because the publishers were a little nervous about, you know, publishing a story where the main heroine is a spider. They thought it would scare people. So he wrote them this note about why he wrote it. And he said, I had a spider in my barn, and I watched her make her egg sac. And I couldn't leave her there. I was leaving for New York, and I couldn't leave her there. So he very gently got the egg sac and the spider into a candy box and took it with him to New York and put it in a drawer. And he said a few weeks later, he opened that drawer, and he saw the babies come out, and they spun, like, webs on everything he owned, like the combs and the nail clippers and everything. He was like, it's such a beautiful sight. And you know, the spider... spiders do die after they do that. So he just wanted to, you know, he's like, it's a life cycle, but it's a gentle telling about the life cycle.
Yes. And Amy, listeners can't see, but you have a beautiful baby bump.
Yeah.
I imagine this could be very emotional for you in this story.
It is. I do play Charlotte. I would like to say this is the second time I've played Charlotte pregnant. I'm seven,
it's not like, yeah, 7-year locust. Or anything. No, different
it's
bugs.
It's kind of funny, yeah. But yeah, I'm 7 months pregnant right now. And playing Charlotte, you know, not only dealing with her death, but the fact that she'll never meet her children. You know, she says it. She's like, I will never see my children. And it's just, it's heartbreaking, but it's the cycle of life
it
for
is
a slider.
Life. Listen, I still haven't gotten over the movie Babe when he sees his parents on that breakfast
yeah.
plate with the eggs. Oh,
just get you.
Yes. Now, Charlotte's Web is essential children's literature, but it also has tremendous appeal for adults. You often hear it referenced among authors, among book lovers. Why do you think that's so?
Well, I think just this scope of what E.B. White was able to achieve in such a small novel. I still remember reading it in my fourth grade English class. And the fact that he's able to take these potentially very difficult topics and present them gently, but also not talking down to an audience, it really leaves a very big impression.
Mm. The Center for Puppetry Arts has so much rich year-round programming beyond the performances. Next week, a celebration of Jim Henson's birthday, which ought to be a national holiday. What can visitors get in addition to the performances when they go and see Charlotte's Web?
So if you get a ticket to see the show, or if you get a ticket to see the museum, you get to take part of that celebration. We have a bouncy house. We're going to have birthday cake. You can make your very own fantastic puppet friend. You can also put your name in for drawing for great Jim Henson prizes. We have a lot of stuff going on that weekend.
And all year round with kudos to you and everyone at the center. Amy Sweeney and Nicholas Carleo are two of the puppeteers in the Center for Puppetry Arts production of Charlotte's Web that opens next Tuesday and runs through October 22nd. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.